All of us have probably heard someone say about another person, he's a good man, or she's a good woman. Of course, that's a compliment. But would we be satisfied with that alone, just being known as good? Hopefully not. After all, what would be the standard of goodness? The Washington Post standard? Standard of this world? Who knows? No, you and I have to want to be known as striving for holiness. In the end, we want to be known as a holy person. After all, Jesus taught us in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness. They will have their fill. That fill, in a way now, through the gift of the Holy Eucharist, but that fill ultimately in sharing the banquet of the Lord in heaven. So with that in mind, consider our gospel today. Here we have this rather dramatic scene. This young man runs up to Jesus. Jesus has just finished teaching. So he runs up, he kneels down, and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's almost as though he's flattering our Lord and hoping, because of that flattery, that Jesus will look at him and say, oh my, you are good, you're just fine, you're material for heaven. Immediately our Lord says, only God is good. Our Lord is saying, I'm not good because I make you comfortable with my teaching. I say what you want me to say, what you want to hear. Not good in that sense. I'm not good because I'm popular. No, Jesus is good because he truly is God. He is the Word of God who became flesh. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So with that then, our Lord goes through really an examination of the last 7 of the 10 commandments. The man said, oh, well, I've kept all these from my youth. Well, one would have to wonder, has he kept them just at face value, or has he lived them to the full spirit of those commandments? So like number 7, thou shalt not steal. Hopefully he's never stolen. But has he bothered, being wealthy, to share his wealth with those who are in need? Has he been generous with his life? We don't know. So our Lord takes it a little bit further. Our Lord looks at him with love. So our Lord gazes into his soul. And then, with that word that's like the double-edged sword that St. Paul spoke of in our second reading, Jesus says to him, well, one more thing. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And then follow me. With that, the man went away sad because he was very wealthy. The problem was the wealth came first. Yes, he followed those last 7 of the 10 commandments, but what about the first 3? Notice that Jesus, when he went through those 10 commandments, sort of did it in a reverse order. He took 5 through 10, blocked those together that deal with our neighbor. And any good person, even a good atheist, isn't going to steal, commit adultery, or kill. But then came number 4, honor your father and your mother. But then when our Lord said, go sell everything and follow me, he's saying, live number 3. If you want, live number the last 3. If you really want to get to heaven, you have to live those 3. And the first one is, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have false gods. So to be holy then means God has to be God in our life. God has to be number 1. We can't allow a false idol to come into our life. So for this man, obviously his possessions meant more than following Christ. No, for us, there can't be anything that takes the place of God. After all of us would have to admit we are wealthy in some way. Some of us here might be materially wealthy, but we might be wealthy because we have our health, which is a great gift, or we have our family and friends or great social circles. We're wealthy because we have great talents or abilities. Who knows? But never must those take the place of God. Never must those good things become possessions that possess us, become idols. Instead, we use everything to give glory to God and to do good for others. Commandment number 2, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God's name in all of its forms is holy. Whenever we hear the name of Jesus, all of us should feel goodness. We should feel the love, the tenderness, the compassion, the great gift that our Lord has given to us in Himself. How sad it would be to take His name in vain, to use it just as an expletive or an anger. How the devil must laugh. How can we be holy and use God's name in such a way? We also have to remember that when we were baptized, we were given that name, Christian. So we must not live our name, our baptismal name, in vain either. Rather, you and I must be striving to be known as a Christian. We aren't just a Christian here at church. We're a Christian when we go outside, whatever the context of our life is. We can't use that name given to us in vain either. Then the third commandment, keep holy the Sabbath. Sunday is God's day. So, in our liturgical sense, tonight is really Sunday, so we're here to worship God. How wonderful that is. Tomorrow should be a day of rest, a day to be with our family, to take time for prayer. So it's that day of giving God His due and also refreshing ourselves in union with Him. How sad it would be if we didn't give God His due. Sadly, someone might bag Mass because of sports, some other activity, shopping, whatever. One would have to ask then, who's really the God? Who really gets the worship on Sunday? It's the sports, the social activity, whatever it may be. No, God has to come first. And that's the major priority of Sunday. But then we should remember that every day of our life we should have a little bit of Sabbath rest and take time for prayer, for reading sacred scripture, or studying our faith. This is essential to our life, that we can't let a false idol take over so that we no longer have time to give to God each day. But these three commandments, while they are the last ones that our Lord deals with this young man, are really the foundational ones. When we live these first three commandments, everything else is going to fall into place. So we think then of how living these commandments should always be a test. So looking at our lives then, you and I need to ask ourselves, given this gospel, are we fully following Christ? So is there something, maybe material, something like money, possessions, whatever, is there something social, a friendship, a relationship, some kind of position or status? Is there something comfortable where we find comfort? Perhaps overindulging in food and drink, overindulging in technology, maybe even looking at things we shouldn't be looking at. Is there anything of that nature that prevents us from following Christ? And if so, we need to get rid of it. We need to sell it off, just like Jesus said to the young man. Because it's when we do that that we find real freedom. This man was weighed down by all of his possessions. We have to free ourselves from anything that takes away from following Christ so that we can find true freedom, so that we can really find His love. Because only when we do that will we find peace of heart. Moreover, that will start to satisfy this hunger and thirst for holiness. And the rest of the commandments will take on greater meaning. So like commandment number 4, honor father and mother, won't just be honoring and giving due respect to all those in legitimate authority. It will be taking care of our loved ones as best that we can, especially the sick, the disabled, the elderly in our family. Commandment 5 won't be simply thou shalt not kill in the sense of murder, but will respect the sanctity of life from conception to natural death. Consider the dignity of every human being, no matter what stage of life. 6, thou shalt not commit adultery won't just be that physical idea of adultery, but even spiritual adultery. because something like pornography is spiritual adultery. But then we respect, moreover, the gift of our human sexuality, the sanctity of marriage between man and woman, the sanctity of family life. 7, thou shalt not kill, and 8, thou shalt not bear false witness, moves us to not just steal or not lie, but to truly be honest and fair and just in all of our dealings with other people. It also moves us to share what we have for those who are less fortunate, to build up God's kingdom here and now. And then, thou shalt not covet, whether wife or neighbor's goods. So 9 and 10. Well, we should give thanks for what we have, not having this desire of worshiping an idol that might be wealth, what other people have, but rather having a contentment, being grateful. Yes, having a healthy sense of ambition, but nevertheless having gratitude, contentment. So my brothers and sisters, our Lord takes us on this journey along with this young man. And you and I have to ask ourselves, where are we now? Are we simply good, or are we striving? Are we hungry and thirsty for holiness? The saints knew this. The saints, some of whom were martyrs, were willing to give up everything, even their own lives. St. Thomas More, the patron of our diocese, gave up his position, his wealth, land, and eventually his life, rather than give over himself to Henry VIII and his plan. Or we think of kings and queens who are saints. King Henry of Germany, Queen Margaret of Scotland, Queen Elizabeth of Hungary, Blessed Karl of the Austrian Empire. So many saints who held great wealth, power, position, and yet God came first. They wanted to be holy, to be known as that follower of Christ. So my brothers and sisters, we pause this Sunday, and as we look at our lives, we have to say, is there anything really weighing me down? Is there anything preventing me from fully following Christ? And then ask ourselves, is that thing really making me happy? Or is it really causing great stress, great unsettledness in my soul? Only when we follow Christ, and only when those first three commandments are the foundation, can we find the freedom, the peace that our Lord wants us to have, but also to live in holiness now and forever. May God bless you.